Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the On the Edge Radio Show. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We have definitely got to do everything that took place yesterday. We have been dealing with some technical issues. And I do apologize. Hopefully today it's a little bit better. Hopefully today it's a little bit better because we definitely went through some drama yesterday. Lost inside space somewhere. Oh, God. We're still going through it. Let's go into today a little better, I hope. All right. Well, yesterday's topic, which we will be repeating today, was about testing 1-2-3. Should children be permitted to be promoted solely on the annual test scores? Okay. This was talking about how children can do well all year. They study, they bust their butts, they skip the Saturday parties to go out there and help out to get their grades together. They make sure they bring in their essays and everything, and it all boils down to whether or not they get promoted based on the end of the year test. Not what they do all year, but what they score at the end of the year. And I find that to be a shame. As a parent, as a former representative on the PTA, as a SLT, which is the school leadership team in New York, don't know what the equivalent name is out there, but it is definitely an important role to play because you, as a parent representative being on the PTA, sit in with staff members and the principal, and you discuss how funding that's given from your particular state and city, is dispersed. Most of what's happening is that a lot of the schools are being told to take most of the funding that's coming in and given to what they call test prepping, okay? Not in textbooks, not extra teacher's aids for those children that learn a little bit more slowly than the rest of the class. School programs, but definitely test prep, because at the end of the year, when that score test comes out, the higher score in the collect, the better the school looks, okay? Now, yesterday I brought up that I ran across a couple of articles. Now, I'm representing New York. I'm in Queens, New York, and I've been through the education system in New York, but I ran across a few other states, and one in particular got at me from the state of Washington. Okay, the Washington Post, in an article that was entitled "The Answer Sheet," states that statewide testing scores have what's called a value-added formula. This value-added means that the higher kids' test scores come out on score sheet at the end of the year means it adds value to the quality of the teacher that taught them. Now, I can say that there's a double-edged sword on that. Yes. Of course, if there's no caring teacher that's in classrooms, that definitely they would be dedicated to teaching the children, and these children will come out learning something and performing better. But what happens if the children that's among the highest scoring came from a teacher that didn't give a flying darn anything about them, and they still managed to do it on their own or seek out other options and other methods and scored well? How does that rate a teacher? How is there that it takes what the children score to rate a teacher? Shouldn't that process have been completed before the teacher made the class got the position in the first place? Okay. Moving on to the next point of this. How is basing a child's emotional eligibility only on the end of year test fair? Fair. When A child can be an A-plus performer, an overachiever, a high-quality student. Respectable, brings in all their bibliographies. They have all their punctuation correct. They listen. They do it better next time. All year, but when they get this testing day, we're told there's 100 questions on the multiple choice question. The only tools you have is number 2 pencil, which must be sharpened before you get there, and an answer sheet with very unfriendly looking computer printout circles. And you have an hour and a half max to answer these questions, to think it through, to make sure you can choose the best answer. Don't skip any, because that's going to take away from the points you could get. And then they freeze, because that type of pressure on anyone, even as adults, we have a time deadline in our daily lives. So imagine a child who's an A-plus student, maybe even an A++ student, who does everything correctly, who goes out there and skips the parties, who doesn't hang out because they got their textbook in their hand, okay, and goes out there and gives their best and their goal year, but they freeze on the test because they're afraid, and then they score badly. Is that supposed to offset everything that they've done all year? Everything. Then, let's put it on this side. Then you have the ones that come to class and they're loud and disruptive and they're disrespectful. They don't turn in an assignment to save their life. They couldn't answer a question because they weren't there for the lesson. But they can cram really well once they find out what could be on the test. And remember, the night before a test. Can come into the testing site drunk, high, pissed off, tired, and still get the answers in their head and know what they're talking about based on these choice questions. Okay? And then they score well, and they get promoted. How is that fair? How is it fair to the student that was working all year for us? How is it fair to the kid, actually, that can cram the night before but never really learned anything in the class? All of this to do what? To make the leaders on a piece of paper look good, for people to look in black and white, when your child is not being given the fair credit for their merits or for lack thereof, the help that they need. Not fair. And I tell you that as a parent, it enrages me. There's no way I would want my child to be graded undeservingly either direction. I don't want my child coming home with an essay, doesn't have one period, a properly formatted paragraph, context that makes sense, smooth transitions from the introduction to the body to the ending, and being given an A when it should have been given a D at least. How is my child learning how to go from the basic elementary school into junior high school into the hard part, which is high school, to qualify properly for college and be able to go out there and say, I want a job, and handle themselves? How can they do that when schools are set up there saying, no more red pen mark? Okay, use spell check, but guess what? Spell check can be wrong too, because it doesn't always tell you that the word you're using is proper. Okay? That's one of the things that I can actually say, okay? Now, having served inside on the leadership team and on the PTA team, I've seen and heard that teachers are now being told to rush it along, okay, pretty much. You can give them 1 or 2 tries after that, they're on their own. Or shove them to a special ed, shove them to a GED program class, go let them get the extra help they need. The extra help is in the class, the taxpayers, and the people who have to accept government assistance that still got to give a portion up to, is being paid to do. And these parents send their children to school, making sure they're up with breakfast, out on time, not late for school, are depending on these teachers that they leave their child with for 8 to 9 hours a day to do the job. They're counting on the teachers to inform them of what needs to be improved so that maybe we have a chance to try to know, give them what we know at home to really make that happen. Because these children deserve a shot at a quality education, whether it's publicly funded or privately chartered. And the funny thing is that everything that can help these children along is everything that they already have funding for that really doesn't make a difference is being overly funded. They're cutting out music, which teaches children scales, which teaches children how to count. okay? Which teaches children how to value music, how to listen, how to keep time. But guess what? Before they can keep time, before they can count, they need to learn how to say, hi, my name, and I would like to apply for. Before they can tell you what 2x minus y on a z angle means, they need to say, hello, how are you today? They need to know that you have to use is, there, are, from, where. So English language is important. Reading is important. Math comes next. And if these basic fundamentals are being choppily taught, but they're being held accountable to give a full great score every year, how are these children learning anything or properly given the right success tools to go out in the world and do something? Absolutely unfair and absolutely unacceptable as a parent, as a youth advocate, as a former inside for the New York City Department of Education, not officially them, but as part of the chair's regulations. I don't want my child's board to determine whether a teacher is good or not, because if it's a bad teacher, that I should have been seen before they got in the classroom. If it's a good teacher, that should have been appraised and known from day one, and it was showing the students without the accolades. And if everyone in the school system would try to make sure they really integrate with the parents and do their jobs and not be afraid to give the children those red marks and those big fat zeros and those quotations and notations in the corner, we would know what we're up against. A little bit later on in the week, I will be tackling, as a matter of fact, that will be tomorrow's subject, where I'll be talking about how the government is interfering with parenting and with quite a few other things. But let's go back to this as well, because the government is actually interfering with the way our children learn, because they're more concerned with how they look on paper so that it looks like they're actually successful. They may be, because those students that are carrying the load for them, okay, are actually doing their jobs. Possibly because there are a couple of teachers who said, forget the new rules, I'm going back to really caring about these students making a difference. And for those teachers that are out there and you are trying to do it the old school way, I commend you and I applaud you. I commend you and I applaud you. Because it takes guts to stand up and it's to change, and it's guts to sit there and say, I'm not going to do this because something is a little more important than what you have to say at this moment. The children are our future. This is where we want our children to be. So they sit right there and be disencouraged all over again. We're telling our children every day, stay away from gangs. Don't hang out. Come in at a certain time. Make sure you're a good person. Study, because you know what? Education is the only thing that's a backup when all the other glamour fails. And these children are coming in there and being told to hell with what you do all year. All counts is what you do on the end of the year score. And honestly, the test scores is cool. It's for those people that sit in the higher offices that don't really care about going into these individual schools and seeing what's really being done. And if you want to help a child really get somewhere, those of you that can do it, you businesses out there, you community leaders, can you do us a favor and stop rewarding the already established and help those that are out there that need the help? Maybe with some private funding that you're giving these students and saying that you're strictly giving it to for those kids that are not exactly A students, but they can be really good B pluses and they're trying to make something with themselves so they can go to a college of their choice, maybe not an Ivy League, but they can get into a community college and have some funding for tuition to go in there, they would feel like, you know what, if I try my hardest, it may not be an A, but it's a hard B. And somebody notices my efforts. Why are scholarships only given to the ones that already know what they're doing, that already can do something? Why aren't more of these scholarships being given to children that may not make an A, but they're really doing good and they're consistent with their B pluses and their Bs, their B pluses and their C pluses? It makes absolutely no sense. No sense whatsoever. to have these children have a double standard, your parents and the society telling them you must be educated if you want to get a job. And nowadays, an associate's degree means as much as a GED diploma, because businesses are not even looking at associate's degrees anymore. They're looking at bachelor's and up. And if the basic education to even get to an associate's degree is being compromised, these children don't have a shot no matter which way they go, no matter how good they study. And once again, it's all of our responsibility to make sure that everything involved with youth is done as well as it can be done, giving it the best that we have, opening our mouths to teachers, opening our mouths to the educational authorities, opening our mouths to Congress if we have to, making it known that we're not going to stand for anything less than what our children were promised from the day that education was established on this country. It's all about capital in America. Everybody knows this. We know that this is a capitalist country, and it is based on capital. And in order for our children to be able to have their peace at that capital, they need to know what they're doing going in, and they need a shot. They need a really good, true, successful shot, a fair shot. Why is it that some people don't have proper textbooks, updated history, updated information? Why is that? Why is it that other schools have the best of everything right high off the rack? Why is it that there are certain schools that are entitled to have the creative arts program that keeps the kids' brains a breather, but keeps them active and keeps them functional and keeps them running with fun? But yet, piling on this thing, why? Because they're piling on tests. Children are being given much more written curriculum to look, to study, to memorize, to know. They're being held accountable for what they can score at the end of the year. So to hell with what all they've done, all the accolades, all the awards, the honor rolls, everything doesn't matter, because if you don't score well at the end of the year, it means nothing. I'll call in number 347-327-9967. All of you educators that are out there, the ones that are in the system now, the ones that have taken upon themselves to say, to hell with the new demands, we want to learn, call in and tell me what you think of this. Or join us in the chat room and post your ideas. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you parents who's a victim of all this stuff, and tell me what you think and what you think should be done and what your suggestions are. Because this is definitely a mission that's near and dear to my heart as well, whether it's my child or yours. Okay? Something that we would like to see change while our children still have time. While our children still have time. Okay? I'm going to go to break. I'm actually going to get a song out now by Charlie Wilson, which I absolutely love, and I'm sure that, you know, he's done this thing for those of us old timers who know him from the Gap Band. This song is really touching a lot of people, and it's hot, so I'll be back in three.
I notice you from across the room. Excuse me, miss, don't take this wrong. I couldn't resist that smile and those beautiful eyes. I can see that you wear fancy clothes and drive a fancy car. Your hair did and your nails done, looking like a superstar. Can I take you out? Give love for real. All
account for seven figures. And I may not have a sailboat and a big old mansion, oh no, but I do know how to love you, baby. And in my own way, in my own way, I'm rich as hell. I really hope that none of this don't matter. And I hope that you don't judge a man by his status. And I was wondering if you and I could get together and know each other better. And I promise you, I'll give my all and make my heart your passion. I give you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. That was Charlie Wilson with My Love Is All I Have. Beautiful song, beautiful song. Getting back to the topic at hand for tonight. It's testing one new file, promotion based on end of year testing scores. Sometimes very much against, I'm sure a lot of parents that are out there know their children are performing very well all year and freeze on the test. And then the others that know that there are children out there that are not sending in not a piece of a spelling test, but they're cramming the night before and they're passing. This is so unfair on so many ways. A child that performed all year, be on the honor roll for three straight marking periods, a child that turns in every essay on time, if not early, who's given up their Saturday parties and their trips to the roller skating rink and where else that they go so that they can sit with a textbook in hand and be prepared for a test and go in and get 90s and 95s and 100s and get upset with themselves when they get anything less? Because at the end of the year, when they're given this very unfair-looking grid with two number two pencils, which, by the way, they must sharpen before they get there, and a bunch of multiple choice questions in 100 box, and told that, guess what? You need to get all of these answers in, okay, an hour and a half. Don't skip any because you might miss a few points. And do it in an hour and a half. Okay? Try to think on your feet because you only have an hour and a half. Now, think of us as parents. Forget being children. All of us with our busy days. Okay? We have to go to work. We have to get our children off to school before we go to work. We have to catch a bus. We're running about 5 minutes late. We can't remember where we put our keys. And we've got the deadline. Imagine the pressure in your head where you got to try to remember where you put your keys last after your child then lost their shoes. After your child lost their shoes. Okay? And now you just found the shoes that took 15 extra minutes. Now you have to get to this bus because if you miss this bus, you'll wind up being late. Imagine the pressure of that for you to do all that stuff in that amount of time. Now, what's your child going to be thinking when they're sitting there with an hour and a half to come up with the best of multiple choice questions that are 100 questions deep with only 90 minutes to do it? They can't get up to sharpen their pencil because that takes time away from the clock that they're counting down with. And Lord knows if they're not feeling too well that morning, but they've worked all year. They gave up parties. They gave up sleepovers. They gave up talking to their boyfriends on the phone or their girlfriends on the phone because they wanted to follow what we've been telling them for all of the time. You know what? You need to have your education. You need to be a neat with your work. You need to be on time. You got to study. And they're doing their part. But now let's go look at, you know, the big bad John that comes in and they're disrupting the class. They don't know a thing. They don't turn in work. Teachers are pulling out their hair. Kids are rolling their eyes because here comes the troublemaker. But guess what? He can cram and remember stuff after drinking after partying all night, after doing whatever it is that he does. He can get all them answers with the back of his hand swiped across the board. And he gets to get promoted. So all of his detention slips versus the honorable students' awards are equal because the government wants to know the school performing and the school leaders are sitting there going, that test prep in. Forget art, forget music, but forget going out there and doing sports. You know what? Test prep, get them back in there. Make sure they know this stuff. Oh, and guess what? They have one in the middle of the year, too. They get a little pre-annual test in the middle of the year. Oh, they don't have tutors on site anymore. They don't have teacher's aides on site anymore to help that kid that needs a little extra help during the year. To help teach a child how to prep the test, what to do on the test. You're going to give them a bulletin board that got three little books on a post saying, oh, here are some suggestions. Eat a healthy breakfast. Relax. Breathe in and breathe out. Have three number two pencils sharpened and ready to go. That's how you prepare for a test that's going to determine whether you stay in fifth grade or you move to number six. Nice job, America. As a parent, I'm not going to stand for that. As a youth advocate, I refuse to lay down on that one. I stand up for those teachers that I've seen stay past their paid time to mark people's grades and give them papers that really tell them, listen, you need to fix this a little bit. This whole entire paragraph makes no sense, regardless of what the United States of America government is telling them to do differently. There are still a few of those bifocal wearing down to the tip of their nose glasses teachers that are going, absolutely not acceptable from you. They're even being told to forget the red pen mark, just move them along. I don't want my child going out into the world with an F she didn't deserve. If it's an F, give her an F so she can learn how to get to the D and then the B and then the C and the A and whatever else. Tell her what she needs to know so that she can get out there and go to a job interview with real tools behind her or him. That's what we have to do. That's where we stand. That's where we stand. It's not what's on paper. It's what your child is going to write on a piece of paper when they get out there. Okay, that's what they're going to do. And that's what these teachers are accountable for. We send our children out there every day, and now they're trying New York. They're trying to cut down all leisure time and add as much school time as they can to show that what? We're making sure our children have more school time, less summer vacation, less vacation holidays. They're trying to make sure that New York City even punished for Hurricane Sam taking away a couple of extra days in New York City. The children got their vacation time cut short because they were being punished for a natural disaster. Now, how good is that? Mayor Bloomberg was forced to close down the schools because it was flooded and no lights. But he told these children that they're going to have their holidays taken away because they must make up those days that are natural disasters done by God. They took place and took away their school days. To do what? Tell them that at the end of the year, don't deserve to do anything but pass the test. They got punished for a natural disaster. Natural disaster. Oh, my God. What do you get from that? What message is that to these poor kids? Somebody has to stand up. And I know as a parent, I'm going to open my mouth any which way I have to. Any which way. These children that are trying, that's trying to stick it past all the horrible violence that they're seeing around their schools and the people that are turning their back on helping them through this, on the cut down budgets, on the teachers being nastier than ever because they're overworked and underpaid, on your children not being left at the front because teachers don't even have to stand there and wait for you to be a little late picking them up anymore. End that. I would like to hear your thoughts. Now, I have a caller on the line. Let me see who this is. Hold on one second. Hi, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, how you doing, Ms. Williams? How are you?
How are you? I just couldn't resist in calling in to address this this issue as far as the kids in the schools.
Okay, so what's your take on it?
My take on it is, now, we're going to take the gloves off, okay? And I'm not going to hold back at all. Okay, parents really need to step it up at home. That's where it all starts at. And the problem that I have, you have a lot of single moms, I understand that, that they have to try and work and get their kids off to school and all that. But that's no excuse. For some of these parents haven't finished school themselves. So they're and the kids are really paying for that with them not being able to go to their parents and have them go over schoolwork with them. You know, there was a time when I was coming up, my mother and father was breathing down my neck every day about homework. You have a lot of these kids don't even come home with school books from school, and you ask them about, well, where's your school books? Do you have homework? Yeah, well, I did it in school. No, homework is to be done at home. Homework is to be brought home, sat down at a table, where they sit down at a table with their parents, and they go over things together. We have lost all of that. We have lost a whole lot of values in today's society that we need to get back to the basics. And that's just my opinion. That's the way I feel. And, you know, some people need to wake up. Come on, stop walking around with your eyes wide shut.
Okay, I really appreciate that input, and a lot of that is true. I only want to differ a little bit on something that you said to interject this point, okay? The point is this, too. It's not just the parents, definitely, because no matter where our children go to school at, we're always going to be their parent. Their teachers go from semester to a semester. But understand that with the new, you know, government cuts and the demands that these teachers have in these meetings, and I'm saying that speaking from being on the leadership team, which sort of gave us an inside look as to what the teachers are going through, a lot of these teachers are being told, cut it short. And a lot of these teachers that I have seen in these meetings, Mr. Williams, I could tell you right now, have been visibly upset by it because they're one of those teachers that want to whip out that red pen in a minute. On the other hand, with a lot of these parents, I've seen quite a few parents being a parent PTA president that, number one, they have a language barrier, but they're definitely involved with their children going to school. That's number one. Number two, the teachers are not replying. Listen, I'm going to give you an example, okay? I have quite a few children in the school system. One of the things that everybody knows me to be is, of all the things in the world that I don't want to hear from a teacher, I don't want to hear from a teacher that my child was talking in school, okay? Not because it's a big, bad thing, but other children are there to learn, and it's a disrespect to a teacher who's taking their time to come and teach a lesson. And if you choose to mess up, you got to deal with me, but the other kids don't. The second thing that happened is this, okay? I told these teachers, I have 9 different ways for you to contact me. I have 4 emails. I have 3 backup phone numbers. I have a neighbor that will tell me. I got 2 sisters. I do not care if my child sneezes the wrong way and rubs their eyes. I want to know about it. You know why? Because if I don't handle it right away, you'll be frustrated. You're going to let it slide. You'll be frustrated the next time. I'm not knowing a thing at home. And then the next thing I know, you want to mark it as a label, my child's permanent record. But you never gave me the chance to rectify my part. Okay, so the teachers are to blame for that too. And on the other hand, they're under pressure. They got their superiors breathing them in and telling them, forget the after school kit. Move it along and get these printouts. But you're absolutely right. First and foremost, if it is the parents' job at the end of the day to go ask the teachers what the hell is going on, where's the homework?
Well,
I haven't seen a report card.
Right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right. My experience here in Ohio, I visit some of these high schools, and it is amazing to me the way some of these students walk around and they talk to these teachers. No respect at all. That couldn't happen if you had your parents making surprise visits up to the schools and being in communication with these teachers and working along with the teachers. Now, you can't I'm not trying to put the blame on the teachers because you know, they have a job to do, and then some of them, they just want to come in and get a free paycheck. They couldn't care less if a child is doing good in school or not. But my point is that the school, when I visit the school, some of the way these students are just walking the halls, and the teachers act like they're afraid of them. There needs to be something done. Now, when I was going to school, you didn't need a police officer in school. There was no need for it. Because
no, you
had your parents more involved with the schools. You know, and on top of that, to really make it even better, once you took prayer out of the schools, all of this craziness was going on in the schools. Before they did that, they don't even have to say the Pledge of Allegiance in the schools anymore. You know, and they would stress that the Word of God and allegiance to America, where you're from. But see, you're not getting that sense of value anymore. You know, we're getting away from it. What is going on with our country and our people?
Absolutely. You said once before in the previous segment that this country was founded on freedom and on religion. Absolutely.
Right.
And getting back to what you just said with regards to what you see. Now, let's take a look. I know that there's quite a few parents or kids out there that there's a reason why it's so nasty or that it happened. Think about this. Are those kids getting disrespected? Are they calling these parents when it happens the first time to see what the parent is going to do? And understand that after that, I've got a child that goes to high school in Brooklyn that has a field attack. I wouldn't even go there to go pick up a main office, something from the main office, and I've got to scan my bag for a X-ray camera. And I'm like, well, what the hell did I do?
Right.
You know, but you know what? That's what it is. That's what it is. But you know something? Would have gotten to that point if half these people gave a darn and picked up a phone. But you know what? This is where the double standard comes in. Okay? I can guarantee you that if that child said something that offended that teacher to a point that it really upset them, you'd be getting called and you would hear about all the negative that took place with the child for a month back. But you
right.
Didn't hear anything in 30 days. Okay, that's on the teachers, but that part of the teachers, and I'm not saying it happens all the time, but listen, you, as a teacher, you can't say, listen, they're going to be out in June anyway. No, your job until June is to call a damn parent. Excuse
right.
my French, ladies
right.
and gentlemen. It's to call a parent, okay? And then parents can start being judged or labeled or, you know, whatever it is that they want because they didn't get a proper response. And if you parents out there saying, not my kid, or that didn't happen in my backyard, shame on you.
Yeah,
shame on you.
Yeah.
Because it's not a backyard, it's in someone else's. That parent's got to deal with what you're not doing for yours.
Right, right. And see, that's coming to be a very big problem in the schools. Because then you have some parents that when they come to the school, they want to argue with the teachers. Well, see, if you're giving your children great values at home, you wouldn't even have to worry about getting into an argument with a teacher if you're giving your children the correct values at home. And the excuse for a teacher not to call you when there's a problem that arises immediately instead of letting it build up over a month and then things have gotten so far out of hand that it becomes a real bad problem.
Absolutely. And it's the teacher's job. I don't care if they spit wrong. You know, you as a parent might be annoyed with it, but at least it's a small problem that you could tell a kid, what are you doing? Cut it out. Cut it out.
Right.
You know, I'd rather be a cut it out problem than what the hell am I going to do now? You understand? Or that my kid is in handcuffs because the behavior was so bad, I had to go to the suspension room. That's on their permanent record. You understand?
It was that you got that right. Not.
They love that permanent record. That's what the government is doing right now. At the end of the year, why is a child that's an A performer who frees on a test being promoted based or not promoted based on what they score in a time of fear, whereas one of the children you see disrespecting a teacher who probably does it all year, okay, can remember very well, cram for a test, pass. What is that telling our kids if we're busy at home telling them education is the way to go, you study, study habits, your hard study brings great results. But when they get there, the government is telling them, go to hell with that. What I want you to do is get a good score and to make us look good. I don't know if you were listening in a little earlier where I mentioned there's an article from the Washington Post in the state of Washington. Okay?
Right.
It's entitled the Answer Sheet. That's some of the article. Okay? This woman, the author of this article, was upset because she felt that test scores shouldn't even be a factor in it because they have the nerve to add something called value-added formula, where based on the performance of the scores, it shows that the teacher is a quality teacher. That screening process should have happened before our children got into classrooms with this person.
Correct.
How could a bad teacher get a good report because the children performed well with been messed up all year to our kids? And how could a good teacher be rated badly based on scoring if they were a great teacher all year? So it's unfair to the teachers, it's unfair to the children, and you being based on a score that you probably crammed for but didn't know a darn thing that you learned all year, how is that helping them out in the world?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's correct. That is very so much true. My question is, do you know the difference between the public school system and the Catholic diocese, these private schools? I have a question with that because it seems like they're being held more responsible. With some of these Catholic schools, you know, the parents have to pull so many hours at these schools with their child. If not, they can't allow them to go to the schools because they have to get so much time in with their children. You know, what is wrong with the public school system that they can't have something like that arranged with parents, with the working together with parents?
The only difference with that I could tell you from an inside point of view is that nobody that has the power of a unified voice, parents, is making enough noise. Because just like I said earlier, a lot of the sports programs, the arts programs, the music programs is being cut from the public schools. Okay?
Right.
But they're being rapidly funded, plus private dues that's coming in to the charter schools, I mean to the private schools. Okay? And the thing is that we have a voice. Parents, even now in the school system, the PTA or the PA, depending if it's the parent teachers or just the parents association, believe it or not, they have so much power that the school regulations can't touch them. This is what I mean. The schools are mandated to cooperate with anything that the parent teacher association needs, from printing to using their rooms. They can't say a thing about what we do in our meetings. The only regulations that we are mandated to follow is that all of our meetings and all of the things that we bring up must coincide with what the school curriculum is. Any fundraisers we do got to be toward education. Okay, we can ask the parents for anything that we want because parent has more power than the restrictions of a teacher to a parent. We can discipline our children and talk to our children in ways that the government cannot touch, whereas a child can be only disciplined to a point. So trust me when I tell you that the chancellor's regulations can't even touch a parent, and neither can a principal in a school. So if you parents out there are listening to what I'm telling you, Parent-teachers associations have their own power and governance. And because we
can speak
straight to each other, they can't interfere with that. You know what? A principal is not even allowed to be at a PTA meeting unless they're invited. That's how powerful the voice of a parent is in their own body.
Right.
So those of us that are not utilizing, I'm not saying every time because I know that, you know, sometimes the way they schedule it, you can't make it from work. But by God, go the day and ask what was said. Because also they have to vote by people that are there. You don't have a voice unless you have a vote, unless you're in that meeting to place a vote. And so if only three parents showed up at the meeting and the majority ruled on something that you may hate, they were there. They followed the rules.
Yeah.
So if you don't like, they're about to vote for, you know, extra science classes in the PTA meeting, you better also get down to that PTA meeting and do your nay vote.
Right.
Because that's what's happening. We have more power than the school, that the leaders that run the school.
Right.
And that's a sad thing. But the teachers are obligated. I don't care whether they like you or they don't. They are obligated to feedback to a parent and give parent progress reports. Because we're not allowed to sit with our children in the classroom for 9 hours. They're mandated that this is going on. And overall, the government has no right to tell our children, you can have 3 honor roll marking periods, but it don't mean a damn thing until you perform well at the end of the year, but state-by-state tests that we created.
Right.
Because that's what they're telling them, Mr. Williams. That's what they're telling them. That forget what you've achieved all year. Forget the honor awards that you've had. You cannot get any accolades unless you pass this test at the end of the year.
Right.
And it's horrible.
Yes,
and
it is.
The only
yes,
people
it is.
Can make that happen. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. The only people who can make a difference is the parents right now. It's to open
Correct.
Their mouth and scream as loud as we can. And the leaders and the churches and all those people that advocate for the community and for youth. We can have just as many things as a private school has. There's a teacher right now in Queens, and I want to big her up live. Her name is Beverly Mitchell. She's the principal, African-American woman. She's the principal of PSC 7th Jenkins School in Springfield Gardens. And she has managed for years, despite the budget cuts, despite all the rules, to bring out, keep the sports teams in place. Our school, which wins championships every year when they go for the tournament. She has a gospel choir that goes to and competes in state competitions and comes back with award every year. And she's doing this with what they're giving her through the cuts. And the children have seen her walk there up and down those stairs. She's in every class. She addresses every single parent issue. She does it with passion. Okay. It can be done.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. But, you know, you have such a lack of parent participation these days because you have, like we were discussing the other day, about these parents trying to be their friends. You can't do that. That can't be done. That's like trying to mix oil with water. You're either going to be a parent or you're just going to be their friend and just hanging out with your kids. And that's not going to work. That's not a good combination at all.
It's not. It's not.
No.
Because, you know,
no.
Think about it. Do your kids listen to friends telling them what to do?
Right.
Okay.
And, like, today's children, they are so much more advanced than we are because look at the technology that they have now. The things that we didn't have. Oh, my goodness. If we had that type of technology, could you imagine where we would be at today? My goodness.
Imagine.
I joke with a lot of these kids. I tell them, I say, you know what, the strongest things you have on you are your thumbs because there's a lot of them sit around and they play video games all day. I said, that's probably the strongest muscle that they have in their bodies. What happened to the times to where your parents would not allow you to sit around the house watching TV all day? You had to do something around the house if you want to sit in the house, or if you had to get a book or something to read, or either you were outside doing some type of activity. I remember the days of building go-karts and racing up and down the street, even if we were just racing against one another every day, you know. And like you said, when they go to school, they have to eat a good breakfast. A lot of these children are going to school without eating a decent breakfast. And then when they get to the schools, oh my goodness, the meals that they try and serve these kids in schools are atrocious. It's crazy.
That's true.
Yeah.
I will say, I remember our generation, we needed to use our imaginations a lot more. We needed to go to the library and learn the Dewey Decimal System to look up our research. Nowadays, you just Google it, okay? And while technology is a great addition and it's a great upgrade, it also makes these children a lot more lazier in the brain. If they don't have to think through an answer, what's the problem? What's the purpose?
Yeah.
What's the purpose?
Because the brain is nothing but a large muscle, and if you don't exercise it and work it out every day, it's just gonna be useless.
I thank you so much. Please continue to listen, and I do have to take another caller who says that she has answered about the school question. So you might want to listen.
All right, I want to thank you, and you just keep up the great work, and I will always be listening into you. So keep it going.
Thank you very much. Thanks again for your time and your input, okay?
All righty. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, caller, are you there?
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Hi. You said you had an answer about the Catholic school question that the previous guest just asked. Tell me about that.
Well, my daughter, she goes to Catholic school. You know,
And
to me, I mean, both with the public school system and the Catholic school system, it's still a problem in both areas. I mean, Catholic schools are closing down as well, just like public schools are closing down. I mean, with the Catholic school, it's just a money, it's a huge money issue. But with the public schools, I mean, that's Mayor Bloomberg that's doing his part on that, you know, saying there's not enough money to keep those schools open. And those are the problems that's there. Due to the parent involvement, the parent involvement is pretty big with the Catholic schools. So they always, like, try to find ways to make it better and try to keep it open. I don't know how the public schools is on that one. I mean, there's, like, public school and there's charter schools. There's, like, so many different schools out there, and the parent involvement, it all goes down to the parents. They have to be there for the kids. And most of the time, these parents, they just don't have time, that's one, or they just don't care. They just wait until the kid gets home, and they go straight into the video games. And that's the parents' fault. They have to get on top of these kids and make sure that they do their homework, that they do what they have to do to, you know, to grow. Like, whoever was the last caller online, he says that most of these kids are on video games, and that's their life. Actually, that is their life. Since what they supposedly call my generation, Generation X, our generation came in, everything starts to go downhill. In my generation, we were, like, involved in everything. Just like in your generation, we were involved in everything. Our parents made sure we were outside, getting involved in anything that's out there, in sports, and, you know, extracurricular activities, everything. The parents today, it's like, okay, here's a video game, let it be. And they don't learn nothing from it. They learn how, you know, one character kills off another character, but they don't learn how to read, they don't know how to write. I mean, everything just goes down the toilet. So by the time they go get a job, it's like the most, you know, disgusting thing that you can ever see. You see a child that doesn't know how to write a paragraph correctly with the proper grammar and just get thrown out there and in the wild and not know what to do. So it's like two big differences, especially with Catholic schools. I mean, it's a lot stricter, but it's like similar problems.
I so agree, and I appreciate your input, and thanks for sharing your experience. We are so running a little bit over our time, and I do think to the next segment. But thank you so very much for that, okay? Help
no
these
problem.
These parents hear things to hear.
Oh, yeah.
And give them the insight around your neighborhood, too, okay? I want to thank you very much for calling, okay? And you have a great night. Please continue to listen in, okay?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this topic got pretty intense, and I appreciate both callers for calling in. We have two more segments before we end up for the night. So our next segment, the next voice you're going to hear is going to be our own Rodney Williams, DJ Domewrecker, with the Welcome to the Stage music segment, and I appreciate this, so tune in.
Hello and good evening, folks. This is Rodney Williams, a.k.a. DJ Domewrecker, and welcome to the stage. Hope you guys got your bottle of water because it is hot out there here in New York City. We're hitting some warm temperatures, and we're going to start seeing 90-degree weather this coming weekend. So definitely stay hydrated out there. There's no need to start fainting and all that other bad stuff. So listen, tonight I'm going to throw down a few 45s for you, some soul funk, a little bit of hustle for you guys. I'm going to let you know that some of these tracks you may know, you might not know, you might sound a little bit familiar due to the sample or the rhythm or what have you, but that's the thing. When it comes to music, music is eternal, and music is always a learning experience for everyone, so with me, you'll never hear the same thing over and over and over again that you guys hear on every other radio station out there. Okay, so we'll go ahead. We're going to get started. I'm going to start off with something called Time and Place by Lee Moses on a label that was called Front Page Records in the late 60s, about 68, 69. Actually, I think it was about 1970 that this came out. So we'll go ahead and we're going to throw down. My name again is DJ Domewrecker. You can either email me to catch me in contact, soundworksmediainc@gmail.com, or check out my mixes at www.mixcloud.com/domewrecker. That's Domewrecka. All right, let's go ahead and let's get into this music. Yeah.
Thank you. like the rush of the wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean.
right now, we're coming to the close of Welcome to the Stage. Let me just go ahead and run down the playlist that I played for you guys. Just remember that when I play, when DJ Domerica plays, it's always 100% vinyl. That's 45s, and that's 12 inches, and that's albums. All right, the real stuff. All analog, baby. So, here goes the playlist. Started off, as I mentioned earlier, with Time and Place by Lee Moses. Followed it up with The One Ads by The Honeycomb. We also put on The Answer to The One Ads, very rare record from out of Houston, Texas, a label called Ovide Records. The artist was named Bobo Mr. Soul, and that was the answer to The Honeycomb's One Ads record. A lot of people don't really know too much about that. Fourth song we played was Searching for the Soul Part 1 by Jake Wade and the Soul Searchers out of Inkster, Michigan. Inkster, Michigan actually is the hometown of my family, my father's side of the family, so kind of proud to throw that on. Yes, We Can by the Pointer Sisters, very early Pointer Sisters record from the early 70s. I Want to Be With You by Doc Severinsen. Doc Severinsen, one of the best trumpeters in the world. Doc Severinsen also used to run Johnny Carson's band in the during the years that Johnny Carson was hosting, of course, The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. We got The House is Rockin' by Bobby Caldwell. Bobby Caldwell was known mostly for songs like Open Your Eyes and What You Won't Do for Love, but this was a straight hustle song. Found it digging one day and just thought it was just one of the best records, one of the best 45s I'd ever gotten my hands on. Rock the Boat by Hughes Corporation. Grew up on that stuff. RCA Records, straight hustle joint. Too Hot by Kool & the Gang. And finally, we finished everything off with Baby, I'm Scared of You by Womack & Womack. Had an absolute blast going ahead and creating this mix for you. Once again, my name is DJ Domerica, a.k.a. Rodney Williams. I want to go ahead and thank everyone for tuning in. We're going to do this again next week for a couple more times. And listen, you guys have a good night. Like I said, keep hydrated, keep drinking water because it's going to be hot out there. All right? Take care. Peace.
Woo! Woo! Rodney killed it. Yes, he did, Domerica. You killed it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. You can give us a little bit of a break because when we come back, Monster Miles is going to do his thing with sports. So get ready, all of you. Okay? Thanks so much for tuning in.
Don't hype yourselves up. It's still a long season ahead. Mets, they're going to be home watching the Yankees in the playoffs. And, by the way, it was luck. Y'all got lucky for once. So, I'm going to let y'all have your little parade for the Mets right now. I don't care. It's whatever. As for these playoffs, what happened to your boy LeBron? All my Heat fans, what happened? Y'all feel he's a god. Y'all feel he's the best NBA player. What happened to him in game 4? Any answers on that one? He fouled out. And no, the refs did not mistakenly call him out or anything. LeBron is human. He's going to mess up. And at the same time, I just found out he got fined for being a flop. Woo! Y'all are tight. Y'all are tight. They should have fined him at least $50,000. I don't know why he just had him fined out. Really? That man makes more than that in each game. Take the game away from him. Take his whole check. I don't care. He should suffer more than $5,000. $5,000 is a lot to me because I'm not making that much money. But to LeBron, that's nothing. I know people feel I hate on the Heat. That's because I probably do. And the only reason why is because y'all Heat fans piss me off to the point where I'm ready to jump off a cliff. But I won't, because of the fact I know our team is better than yours. So y'all need to get used to that. Y'all got lucky. LeBron, he needs Jesus. He needs to shave. He needs a better headband. So please, tell that man to wear a headband all the time. Don't wear suits without a headband. That hairline, man. Shout out to the barber. Jeez, I know you get paid big bucks, but damn, y'all ain't even have to mess up the man's hairline. And I'm hearing LeBron looking out for interns and everything. I don't know why. Y'all probably got to be illiterate or just a LeBron fan to be an intern. Why? No. And I spoke to a few Heat fans. Even they said they sucked last game. And in the words of KD, LeBron is LeGone. He ain't the best player in the NBA. He didn't even deserve the MVP. Okay, all right. So we have a call real quick. So hold on real quick. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
So do you have any comments on the Heat right now or anything?
If I have any comments on who?
The Heat.
The Heat? Oh, I have no comments on the Heat. So right now, I have no comments at all.
Whoa. That's a shocker.
LeBron James hairline? Yeah. I'm sorry. I heard the bashing on LeBron James. You know, I'm trying to keep my mouth shut as much as possible, but I will say something about that.
Nah, it's all good. I'm happy to hear a call hit on LeBron too. So,
I'm sorry. I mean, Charles Barkley has been eating off of LeBron James for too damn long already. It's about time he starts to move off from LeBron James. He's not Michael Jordan. He will never be Michael Jordan.
Thank you very much for saying that.
Because
you don't believe me when I say it.
Okay, he's talented, but not like Jordan. Nothing like Jordan. You know, at least Jordan, he's a brand name. He has sneakers. What does LeBron James have? A hairline.
Now, in my opinion, that's true, but he needs a better barber. That's all.
I still say Michael Jordan is a better ball player, yeah.
I mean, like, maybe the hairline is better in his game, but I don't know.
Yeah.
The way he's playing right now, I think his hairline is better in his game.
Well, at least, you know, he's clear-headed when his hairline's not in the way. But still, I mean, I still don't think LeBron James is all that.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling me and saying that. I really do, because I respect all you LeBron haters.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no life without LeBron haters like myself, so come on.
I respect that.
He would be nothing. He would be nothing without us, you know?
Exactly. We're in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, Katie's another LeBron hater over here, so we got to respect her, too.
Born and bred. Born and bred hater.
Katie is forever a LeBron hater.
Of course. Like, who isn't? Like,
I mean, I'm sorry if LeBron James is actually listening to this. Please throw some hair around there, please. You know?
Oh, nah.
Please.
You're
not MJ. You'll never be Michael Jordan. You'll never be anything better. Like I said, Charles Barkley has to stop sucking off, you know? Pause, you know? Sorry to say it like that.
But nah, the Heat and Pacers are playing right now, so I'm praying the Pacers win the game. They just need to end the series already.
Woo!
You hear Katie in the background.
Yeah.
We're back together. Left and right.
Like I said, so I appreciate it. Tell we lost a caller, but I respect that caller though. Oh, someone else is calling real quick, so hold on, folks. We got more people here. Oh,
hello.
How's it going, man? I hear you calling.
What's going on, Miles? What's going on, man?
Hey,
you know what? LeBron James. He's a Jordan wannabe, and that can never happen. Jordan would have never left a team like Cleveland to go to another team, to go to another team to try and salvage a championship. If anything, Jordan would have stayed where he was at and just welcomed the competition out there. So if Mr. Wade had just left LeBron in Cleveland, and if LeBron had the balls to stay in Cleveland and win a championship on his own, that would be saying something. But now I don't have any type of respect for him.
I respect that. Honestly, I see your point exactly. They're always going to compare him to Jordan. Like you said, he's never going to reach that point at all because
it's a Hornet.
Well, for the simple fact, Jordan never lost a championship. Nobody else has accomplished that. He's never lost in a championship.
Exactly. And plus, also at the same time, that whole Miami Big Three was a big setup from the jump. We all knew that from the jump. Once he was a free agent, you knew he was going to Miami. He wasn't staying in Cleveland because they felt that he couldn't win the ring there. So they wanted to play him with two other players he felt could win a championship together, and I'm sick of it.
That was a board championship team.
Thank you. They send more money than
they have. And this other thing about the Mets and the Yankees,
mm-hmm.
New York only has one real baseball team, and that's the New York Yankees.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, did you hear that? Yankees is the number one baseball team. Mets fans, sit down.
And I would like to give a shout-out to my Knicks, even though they got knocked, you know, but I'm glad to see that they made it past the first round. But I tell you what, watch out for next season.
Oh, of course. It's always appreciated when you shout out Knicks. Come on, we Knicks fans are the best of us. In New York, we know they're going further next year. It's going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a big problem for them.
I have a few Heat fans that I'd be around today, and they're talking about, well, they're going to win the next five championships. Stop dreaming. Stop dreaming. Don't you know that each season gets tougher and tougher? There's no way they're going to win the next five champions. That's crazy. That's just simply insane.
I mean, honestly, you can never say never when it comes to Miami because they buy the NBA. They will buy the weakest links in the NBA in order to get that first seat in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go against the slackest teams first and then go to the Eastern Conference Finals again. So,
yes.
We all know that.
Yes, and Chris Bosh needs to put some rocks in his pocket or something. He's got feathers in his butt, man. He's a lightweight, man. They need to play him in a forward position or something.
Chris Bosh.
You know, so he seems like he's got a little, I don't want to say, but maybe he's got a little sugar in his tank. Maybe he needs to go to He needs to go to something.
Woo! It's not even a maybe, honestly. I mean, like, I've heard rumors it was just a setup for the baby and his wife and all of that. He had a baby in order to come all that out.
So what, he has a wife? There's plenty of peanut butter kids out there with wives.
That I know. I witnessed it for a fact.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I know what you mean. It's all a cover-up. We know that.
Yeah.
The viewpoints expressed by the host are not those of the show.
It's just our opinions. I'm getting thrown under the bus on that one.
Yeah, way up under the bus.
That's funny.
Boy, isn't it wonderful to be a Heat basher?
Oh, it's always a pleasure. I don't jump on that bandwagon for nothing.
Yes. Well, shout out to all my Heat bashers out there. Y'all stay strong. It's going to be all right because the Heat will lose tonight. They are down by 4 and it's halftime.
Yes. Thank you for the highlight to that one.
Yes, it's not looking too good. Miami's not looking very good right now, and Indiana's looking pretty strong. So maybe that's a good sign. If the Heat loses tonight, they could just go ahead and pack it up and reserve a seat on the next jet going to Jamaica somewhere. don't go to Jamaica. Go to where can we fly them off to? Somewhere in Russia, somewhere. Korea. Yeah, let's fly them to Korea somewhere.
That's true. Maybe they'll learn how to play ball.
They can go over there and join Dennis Rodman.
Woo! But
my goodness.
Oh,
you know, I used to have some respect for Pat Riley because he was a New York affiliate for a little while. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, maybe the Heat has baked his brain since he went down there to Florida, I guess.
It really has. Because it's funny, he sees dollar signs in those big players.
Yeah, that's what's wrong with a lot of the people in the world. They're blinded by the dollar signs. There's no more love for the game of basketball anymore. It's all about money. I remember a time where there was just straight love for basketball. Where have those times gone?
Lost it a long time ago.
Yeah. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Katie. She's doing a terrific job with that Katie and Friends, so tell her to keep up the good work.
I most definitely will.
All right, I'm going to let you go, Brother Miles. Keep it up, man, and keep the heat down, man. Keep the heat down.
You know, I'm trying my best with that one. I'm trying.
All right, all right. Hey, I'll give a little shout-out to the New York Rangers since they made the playoffs. I'm not off too much off into hockey, but it's still New York.
Very true. Always a New York team, minus the Jets and Mets.
Yeah, yeah. maybe they'll grow a set one day.
Nah, I doubt that. That's for sure is going to happen.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, and to all you L.A. fans, you can just forget it. That's a lost cause out there in the West. The L.A. Lakers are done. Thank you, Howard.
Didn't work out really for them.
Yeah. You know, I don't like to see anybody hurt, but I hope, I wish Kobe a speedy recovery and hope he's able to get back out there in the game that he loves to play. So I don't want to see anybody hurt and messed up. So.
Same here. I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect it to the fullest.
All right, then. I'm going to let you go, Miles. Keep up the good work, man. Much love to you, man.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling me.
All right. All right. All right.
All right. Take care. All right, folks. As y'all can tell by the call, we had a little few things to say. That was just our opinion, not reflected on anybody dirt on this show except for me. Don't, and the guests, don't take it personally. It's all love, minus, well, it's no love there, just for some of the other teams we made fun of and everything. So, I'm out of time right now, sadly. I love tonight because I love bashing the Heat. They're down by 4. So, as you guys heard, they're down by 4, and they're not looking good right now. Let's keep it up. Go Heat players. Go LeBron fans. Stay strong. I love y'all, though. I love everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Well, here we go with the hoes back with Key right now. After the break.
about real issues.
Hey, back, folks. About that one tiny little last-minute technical glitch. I want to thank every single one of you that were out there. Thank you for listening. Before I go, let me tell my Michigan people out there that we're still praying for you, babe. Every one of you, we want to make sure that you guys are safe. We hope that any damage that was done wasn't much. I pray all of you are safe. I'm please asking you as a personal favor, those of you that are connected to me, please post to my wall, inbox me, anything. Let me know you guys are all okay, because a lot of you that I tried to call, I can't get through to, and I don't know what's going on. So please, I'm praying for you out here. I want to also thank our first official sponsor, Ms. Anaya Clyburn. She is not a business, ladies and gentlemen. She doesn't own a business. She's not a big official. She's just a local civilian that heard our show, believed that we're doing something good, and she donated a little something yesterday. I have a couple of other people helping us with some equipment, some services. I appreciate that. Tonight's show was dedicated to her as well. I also want to thank every single one of you, the 1,100-plus people that stood with us through the technical glitches, the cyberspace drops, the can't-come-through-clear stuff, everything that went wrong as we're starting our journey new in networking. I want to thank every single one of you for looking past the problems and looking at the topics that we're bringing, and the fun that at least we're trying to have, and the great music that DJ Domark is sending out. Thank you, Barry Mason, for being a legend and taking some time out with four little locals to do what you got to do. Jay Dixon for playing Jive Music stuff and giving us a chance out here. Thanks to each and every one of you that's coming in after work and clicking on the archives to listen through it. I appreciate it. We thank God for you, because God is running this thing. I want to let everybody know that we take every single click, every single post, every single submission. We take it very, very seriously. We take it to heart, and we cherish it. We cherish it. One more thing that's out there for all your new upcoming artists, please submit your work to us, a clean-cut, high-quality sound CD. Please try to make it clean, because we're really not trying to push anything too profane or violence-related or degrading of women. But please submit stuff so that we can post it on our market page and give you a mention on our show, showcase our schedule with Friday. Also, all of you single mothers, young kids, single fathers, whatever, whoever you are out there that struggle to start this, submit to. I'm going to post the link on the On the Edge Radio Show Facebook page and my personal page on the Katie Barnett wall. So please submit your stuff to us so that we can review it and get it up for you and give you a mission and help you get started, okay? Until then, everyone, be a blessing, bless, go out there, make a difference, use your voice, because that's the only way anyone is going to know what's going on with you. Okay, see you tomorrow, same time, 8 o'clock, right here. Okay, thanks and good night.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.